We're in verse 8. Bob got me started here. Chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read through the whole chapter. And then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss it because, you know, you wonder how this fits in, but it does fit into what we're going through as well. It says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet he ought to know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours being a stumbling block to those who are weak. And if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom God, or Christ, died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes your brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." So, we have here, I mean, the topic here is, as Paul confronts the believers there in Corinth, here's the issue. You know, back in chapter 6, verse 12, he says to them, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So, what's he talking about here? He's confronting here, sometimes we hear it in our Christian communities of, "I have this freedom." And certainly we have a freedom in Christ. But that freedom doesn't mean that we are free to do whatever we care to do. Right? God has laid out his principles, and, you know, as we were encouraged even this morning to be in the Word of God, he's put his principles in the Word of God for us to follow. His commands are here for us to follow. Paul is not being a legalist here. He's not trying to say you have these do's and you have these don'ts. What he is trying to do is nurture the Corinthian people and also to provide for those that are young in the faith a fair haven, a nice place for them to be so that they can grow, so that they can mature, you know. And some of the background that we see the Corinthians had was that they worshipped foreign gods. They worshipped false gods. And often, they would sacrifice to him. Isn't that the way of the enemy? He uses what God has already set up, established. With Israel, God would establish a sacrificial system in which the people would sacrifice unto God. And remember what that sacrifice looked like. When they did their sin offerings and so forth, they would offer up the bull or the lamb or the turtle doves or whatever the case may be, whatever the God gave them for that provision there. And then the priests would take and the Levites, and they would be able to feed upon that sacrifice. It was okay in God's. But here, what in God's system, right? God's economy, in a sense. But here they're faced with something else. They've come out of this thing, and a lot of us have come out of things, right? I remember when Karen was first saved. And I've said this before, she had an issue with eating meat on Fridays. And I remember her going to the pastor and saying, "Hey, I've been doing this for so long, I feel kind of guilty of eating meat on Fridays." And the pastor said, "Well, then eat fish on Fridays." Right? He wasn't gonna say, "Well, how could you? You know, how could you eat a poor little fish? A pretty little fish on a Friday, you know." No, what did he do there? He offered a grace, didn't he? You know, because right then she felt pretty guilty about it, and he said, "No, there's grace for that. There's grace for that." So what Paul, I think, is establishing here within the community of Christians in Corinth was the proper workings of grace from believer to believer. And believe me, we all need a little grace once in a while, right? Sometimes we need the sternness of the Spirit, and sometimes we don't. It depends, right? But sometimes we do, especially as we're growing, right? We never tell our kids, "Go get a job," when they're 3 years old, right? We have some grace in that. We allow them to be 4 years old before we give them their first job. But he starts out here and he says, "Now concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we will all have knowledge." That we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So there's this knowledge that they had. They understood that meat's meat, you know, and whether it's presented to idols or whether it's not a big deal. Just take part in it. You can do that. And some of the solid believers really believed that, and they were free to do that. And they used their freedom in such a way they didn't think about their freedom. Right? They just exercised it. They didn't think about others around them and how that freedom that they're exercising was going to maybe cause issues with other believers. It's interesting here. He says that your knowledge can. We got to be careful because knowledge puffs up, and often we use that. We say, "Be careful," you know. That word, really, the translation there is kind of weak because it rather than puffed up, it really means to blow up. So if you can imagine that, right? Just how obnoxious that is. What happens when something blows up? When something blows up, man, it's all over the place, right? You don't go, "I'm going to blow this up," you know, and it's going to fall in this nice, neat little pile over here. That's not how it happens. There's a big mess. You know, somebody has to go and clean up your mess, right, when that happens, right? And so there's this blowing up. And then he says, be careful there, right? Knowledge puffs up. That's to be careful. But love edifies. Love edifies. The edifies word there means to build up. It's almost the opposite, opposing, contrasting words there, right? To blow up or puff up, or to edify, to build up a house. You know, and of course we want to build up a house. We don't want to tear down. We want to build people up so that they have a good relationship with Jesus. You know. And so as a young believer, you know, comes in their midst, rather than you know, give them your knowledge about, you know, that this thing isn't so right anymore, or this thing doesn't matter. Yeah, you're able to deal with that, but they might not be able to because of their background. Verse 2 there says, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Right? We never should think that we have the corner on truth. Sometimes, certainly I believe that God has the corner on truth. The problem comes between God and me. the problem comes with this vessel here. Sometimes I get it wrong, right? And so we should not be so proudful and so puffed up that we think that we can't learn anything or we can't be wrong in a certain situation. We have to be willing to grow in that knowledge. And it says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by God. This one is known by God. Our love for God is the most important thing. Right? That's the most important thing in living, you know, is that we love God. It's not how much we know. It's not how much we're right. Right? That's how we love God. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by God. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols. So, you know, he kind of puts a little prelude on here about knowledge, about how we're supposed to love each other, how we're supposed to lift each other up in the community of Christ. And he does that before he addresses the topic here, before he addresses the concern of the idols. You know, and there's three ways that they could anticipate or participate in sacrificing, in the sacrifices that were offered, right? They could eat the meat that was offered in the temple, to these false gods. They could purchase that meat. And also, there could also be a eating of that meat in a private residence. So, again, when he puts this prelude on here, he's trying to get us to understand that it is more than just about the meat here. It's about how we treat people, how we treat people within the body of Christ. And that our freedoms that we say we have in Christ shouldn't be said in such arrogancy that we forget the lack, and we lack concern for others that are around us. Like Bob said, it might be okay for some of us, right, to take a glass of wine with their meal. That's your prerogative. We can't see anything in Scripture that would say that you can't do that. But let's just say this. Somebody that walks into your house that you know has a problem with alcohol, we don't just sit there and drink the bottle of wine in front of them. All right? That wouldn't be prudent. That would be encouraging something that I'm sure you wouldn't want to encourage somebody with. So we sit back and you know what? Today's a Coke day. You know? If they're a Coke addict now... Now, if you're a coke addict, that's another issue. No, but the same thing, right? I mean, we're gonna be gentle. We're gonna be concerning for somebody's well-being, not necessarily even physically, but spiritually. You know, we don't want them to fall off. Christ died for them. Therefore, concerning the eating of the things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. For even if there is so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, whom are all things, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. So, you know, I mean, set it straight, you know, He's it. He's it, we get that. However, He says, there is not in everyone that knowledge. So not everyone that we are either ministering to or somebody young in the faith, not everybody understands that God, there's one God, and that there's one Father, and that there's one Lord Jesus Christ. Through all things exists, right? So we have to put on our gentle gloves. For some, with consciousness, they're conscious of these idols. Until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So, you know, there's some that don't have the same knowledge about this as we do. They're not in the same maturity as we are. And some come out of, you know, I mean, some come out of addictions like we just talked about. That can't possibly take one drink. That can't take the smell of alcohol. You know? Some perhaps in the past had immoral sexual behaviors. Right? We know a brother in Christ that molested children before Christ. I know you got. I know what you guys are thinking. How is that possible that he's even saved? God does impossible things. I'm telling you right now, the guy's saved. Okay. I would never, ever, ever. He doesn't go to this church, by the way. I would never put him in children's ministry. Right? That'd be asking for trouble. Why would we do that? Not only could it defile our children, but it could also defile him. It could bring him down. So we're sensitive to the issues at hand that people are having. You know, the question that we got to ask through all of this is that, are we willing? Are we willing to give up some of our freedoms? That it's okay to do, but are we willing to give up some of that so that we can keep somebody on track with the Lord? And we don't stumble them, you know. I remember years ago when I was in college. By the way, marijuana was not legalized at the time. Or it would have been last year when I was in college, right? But when I was in college, it was pretty frequent that you would run through the halls of your dormitory and you'd smell incense. And I knew right away what was going on. you know, that somebody had been smoking pot. And they were just trying to cover themselves up with that. Somebody today might think it's okay. It's lawful to smoke pot. But somebody that went through that, dependency, I'll say, and you can say what you want about pot, and I've heard all the excuses, all right? I've heard all the excuses about there's no dependency, there's no addiction, all this stuff. It's a gateway drug to me, and I'll stick to it. Because people take the step, and then they take another step. And then whether it was addictive down here or not, I don't care. It's a step. And I think it's a bad move. But look at somebody smells that, and they're an addict, and you're smoking it in your house. And yes, it's lawful. Can you do it? Sure you can, right? Sure you can. But are you considering others? Are you considering that guy that had a dependency on heroin? That perhaps his first drug was marijuana. So, you know, and then, hey, maybe you like burning incense. Maybe you think, wow, that smells good in my house. But man, every time I smell it, I smell pot right through it. I mean, I smell, whether there's pot there or not, I'm thinking pot. You hear what I'm saying? And so for a brother that comes into a house that struggled with that drug at one point, now comes into the house and he smells incense and he's like, hey, you know what? Maybe we don't need incense tonight in their house. We won't have that smell just because our brother's coming over and we don't want to stumble him. You know? Goes on in verse 8 there, but food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. So there's, it doesn't matter what you eat, man. You need to be eating the Word of God. That's really the whole crux here, but these activities don't enhance our lives. They don't make us for better, and they don't make us for worse. The bottom line is, are you willing to love beyond your freedoms? But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Just beware. I think it takes some sense here. It takes, you know, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to find out what your brothers... That's why we fellowship together. That's kind of why, one of the reasons, I guess, why we fellowship together. I want to hear your story. You want to hear my story. And perhaps that gives you some understanding of where I've come from and where you're and me, where you came from. And that's good information for that purpose. Now, don't take that information, okay, Fred was this, that, and the other thing, and now I go out on the street and I hear some guy go, hey, you're the pastor of that church? I remember. Somebody told me you did this. It's not for gossip's sake, right? That's what I always say about the prayer chain. The prayer chain's an awesome thing, but it's a dangerous thing. The reason why I say that, it's not a community find out about your brother and sister in Christ dirt chain. Right? It's about, oh my, let's pray without any judgment. Right? Someone said, relative to verse 9, they said, sometimes we have to put a lid on our liberty. A lot of that's going around today, isn't it? so easy to get caught up in that in a world standpoint. It's my right, it's my right, it's my right. And then we get saved and the Lord saves us from all this stuff. Hey, this is my right now. That now my freedom is my right. I'm free. Verse 10, for if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to the idol? You know, I think about guys that say, you know, well, it's almost a badge of honor. I go into the bars, I sit with my buddies, and I preach the gospel. Yeah, I bet you do. My sister, I always tell the story. My sister, she went to Houghton College. Houghton College, Christian college, right? She must have been a Christian, but she wasn't. She was a musician, and she could play the piano and still can very well. And she went there, and she had a friend that was in Wellsville. It was going to Alfred Tech, and he drew her down, and she would go down, and at first, of course, it was innocent. She would sit in a bar stool, and she would have her ginger ale or whatever it was, her Coke. And then all of a sudden, the Coke got some rum in it, and then the rum got no Coke in it, kind of thing. You know, it's foolishness to think that we sinful creatures that are prone to sin can go in and sit on a bar stool in a bar and preach the gospel continuously. Let them stumble out and preach it outside. Don't go in there. But somebody might walk by and you might be sitting on a bar stool and they might say, hey, that's an okay thing to do. I'm an alcoholic, but you know, I'll go in there and preach the gospel. And then all of a sudden he's not preaching the gospel, right? He's three sheets to the wind. So I think we have to be conscious of what our actions can say to somebody else that's young in the faith. We need to edify, right? We need to present love. Love them. And they may never come up to you and say thanks for doing that, because they don't know that. They don't know what you just did. And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. So, in other words, the weak brother, he might not just grasp this. He might not just grasp this. But God died for him. You know, if we can think of Christ died for this brother, if he died for him, shouldn't I be able to just give up my freedom here that I have in Christ? In Romans 14, just find it here. Romans 14, verse 14, Paul says I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but, that little word, but, to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, somebody might go, wow, man, alcohol is just the most evil thing, because it really was something that probably would have destroyed their lives if God hadn't gotten a hold of them. It said, yet if a brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Paul puts it pretty bluntly there, doesn't he? Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Boy, doesn't that seem silly? Seems a little silly that we would partake in something food-wise that perhaps would be damaging to somebody else. They say, well, we can sustain from that. Well, maybe there's some other activity that you know a brother's prone to, like gambling, or yet you still play lottery tickets and you scrape them right off in front of them, you know? You know, for me, I don't need to be encouraged to go hunting. Because hunting, man, I used to hunt a lot, didn't I? Ask Karen. The Lord's got a hold of that portion of my heart now, you know, where it doesn't drive me. But as a weak Christian, I didn't need to be encouraged to go hunting. I didn't need to be encouraged to, you know, when the DEC opened up Sunday mornings to go hunting, I didn't need to be encouraged to go out in the woods instead of church, right? You know, if Christ was willing to die for them, what are we willing to put away in order not to distract their walk with our Lord? Verse 12, but when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Paul says, when you wound them, when you wound their conscience, when you stumble that brother, we need to repent. We need to go ask for their forgiveness and repent before the Lord. We don't ever want to consciously stumble, you know, a new believer or any believer for that matter. Philippians 2:4, you guys are familiar with this. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests. It is pretty easy to look out for your own interests, isn't it? But also for the interest of others. We need to have our... We need to be others focused. Often. Especially within the body of Christ. That we're not going to stumble somebody. It says, therefore, if food makes your brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. That never again is really never, ever, 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 ever again. Right? It's a real commitment to the body of Christ. That we're out here to uphold each other. We're here to build each other up. We're here to encourage each other. That's why we're here. Paul wasn't saying these things, again, to be a legalist or, you know, give us a list of what to do and what not to do. He was simply saying that those that are mature in Christ need to be mature. Right? We need to act mature. We need to wisely temper our liberties, you know. We have a lot of liberties in Christ. That's the wonderful thing about, you know, our salvation, is that it's based upon what He's done for us, not what we have done. Right? It's not based on our good works and our good deeds. It's based on His grace. So he's just saying, hey, you know, be merciful to your brothers and sisters, Christ. Try to, you know, our job in a sense here is to figure out who they are. You know, there's both sides of that, right? Is that we have to be open to others and they have to be open to us, right? We have to understand their weaknesses, you know? I mean, I wouldn't go up to Steve and with my cigarette and blow smoke in his face, right? Right? That's a temptation to him.
As we know, Steve's been without it for a couple years now, maybe even more than that now. It seems like forever ago, but, you know, and your body appreciates it, I'm sure. But there's still that temptation there. So with all our knowledge of our freedoms in Christ, we don't take advantage of that to put somebody down on their knees, you know, to stumble them, in other words. So.